Hi, this is Don Jurgler, and we're here with Jim Woods, a notable insurance attorney and founder of Woods Group Solutions. Thanks for being here, Jim.
Hey, thank you, Don.
Well, you've been in this business a while. When you look at last year's wildfire season, can you recall any season as bad?
No, forest fires are becoming increasingly likely because of climate change and costing insurers more than ever. With the deadly fires that ravaged Northern California, the single most expensive natural disaster in 2018, according to Munich Re, wildfires are here and they're doing devastating damage and they're likely to continue, Don.
Well, what's going on? Why is the state getting hit? You kind of mentioned a little bit, but why else do you think the state's getting hit with all these severe wildfire seasons lately?
California historically has had wildfires. What is propelling their effect today are devastating winds. The Wine Country fires in 2017 were caused by 90 mile an hour winds on Atlas Peak. The winds that destroyed the Paradise, the so-called campfire, had also winds that were in the 80 mile an hour range. And when these winds take effect and spread embers many miles in advance, firefighters simply can't keep up with them. If this was a simple issue of containing a brush fire, we have the resources to do that. But when wildfires accelerate at the speed of a football field a second and go from Highway 101 in Southern California to the PCH, the Pacific Coast Highway, in 7 hours and leap the PCH into the ocean, they're simply uncontrollable.
Well, you stated before that this is an opportunity for the insurance industry to step in and provide leadership. What can be done?
Well, there are several things. We need to focus first and foremost on the consumer. The consumer today has three options. What we're fearful of is in wildfire areas, the consumer is likely to be uninsurable. To give one a sense of measure of that, the governor's office has stated that 1 in 10 buildings in the state of California are located in wildfire areas. About 2 million buildings are located in wildfire areas. So we're talking about 10% or more of the state's building industry, both residences and commercial structures located there. The alternatives, first and foremost, are to seek coverage for the consumer in the so-called admitted insurance market. That always should be the venue, first and foremost. Secondly, if the consumer cannot find adequate coverage there, they can seek coverage through the state-sponsored FAIR plan. I say state-sponsored, it's really a creation of the insurance industry and the admitted market. And thirdly, if both of those do not provide adequate cover for the insurer, there's a very robust non-admitted market, such as Lloyd's of London, where the consumer can attempt to seek coverage. The problem, Don, is that we're finding holes in each of those and limitations in each of those coverages. Or sources of coverage for the consumer. With the admitted market, we're starting to see admitted insurers refusing to write in wildfire areas or providing one large national broker has said wildfire deductibles in those areas. And in the FAIR plan, we're seeing limitations of, I think it's $1.5 million of coverage. And they may be reaching capacity as to how much they can write. The non-admitted market is a very flexible market, and it's unknown whether or not they'll step forward as they did in the days of the after the Chicago fire, when Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked to the lanyard and started that fire. The non-admitted market came in to provide coverage. We're too early to see whether or not they will fulfill that capacity problem there, which forces us to start thinking about other alternatives. And this is most acute, frankly, Don, with the public utilities, because there are sources of coverage although they seem to be receding, but there are sources of coverage for the consumer, the residential consumer. But with respect to the state's utilities, and there's six investor-owned utilities, the sources of insurance coverage are drying up rapidly. Let me give you an example. With respect to PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric, which is the utility that has been most seriously affected, they face potentially $30 billion of losses for the 2017 and 2018 fires. They have, I've read, $1.4 billion of insurance coverage and another $200 million of IOS. Those are insurance-linked securities or securities that are typically they were called cat bonds. This was the first wildfire bond. That's $1.6 billion in coverage against $30 billion potentially is woefully inadequate. So that could have a grave effect upon that utility's sustainability. We need to do a couple of things to solve the utility problem. We've made a strong step in the direction by creating SB 901 last year, but that just covered the 2017 fires. SB 901 fundamentally did two things. It devoted $1 billion of state funds to forest management, 200 a year for 5 years, which is helpful. With respect to the utilities, it allowed the utilities in the right circumstances after the Public Utility Commission deems them to be at risk or under financial stress is the term, the utility can go out and raise funds from the public through utility bonds, and those bonds can be passed on. The cost of those bonds can be passed on to the ratepayer. The problem is the ratepayer it pays $5. It can be passed on $5 annually. If we had $30 billion of exposure for PG&E, that's an additional cost to the ratepayer of $150 a month for utility service, in addition, of course, to the gas and electricity that they otherwise have. I doubt that the public would stand for that. What there needs to be is two things to help, in my mind, solve the utility problem. One, we ought to consider forming an authority similar to the California Earthquake Authority called the California Wildfire Authority, and it would combine the entire area of the state of California and disperse the risk over the entire state of California. Each utility within that would pay into a pool, and we would spread the risk. In the CEA, which I helped form, the CEA raised $1 billion, and that $1 billion was seed capital, and then there were other layers of coverage. It is now over $10 billion in coverage for California earthquakes. With the California Wildfire Authority, it has to be modeled properly. We have to find out sources of funding for capitalization. But I've been told by a large international broker on the back of a napkin estimate that insurance costs could be reduced as much as 20% if the six utilities banded together and sought coverage with appropriate reinsurance and the like. So that's something that we ought to take a look at to help solve the problem. The other glaring problem we have is the so-called concept of inverse condemnation. In exchange for the utility's right to access customers throughout its entire service territory, it agrees, in effect, to strict liability for any harm it causes as a result of its equipment, including power lines. Well, that may be simply said, but when you have a service area of 70,000 square miles, as PG&E does, and over 7,000 miles of lines in wildfire areas, it is highly impractical that PG&E can, quote, guarantee, end quote, that nothing will ever happen, a fire won't start, especially when we're combating 90-mile-an-hour winds, things hitting the power lines and the like and creating these problems. So the concept of inverse condemnation, in my mind, ought to be changed to one of comparative negligence, much like we have in the auto insurance industry, whereby the proportion of fault rests not 100% with the utility, but can be dissipated by the utility's action. For example, if PG&E were to spend $1 billion or more on remediation and inspect their lines quite frequently and the like, the PUC, Public Utility Commission, could adjudge them, or a court could adjudge them, not to be 100% liable for a fire. That would give them a fighting chance to be able to handle liability exposure on a go-forward basis. Other measures people are considering are things like undergrounding power lines. Oh, that sounds great. Well, it costs between $1 million and $10 million per mile to underground a power line. Try that across 7,000 miles of power lines that PG&E, for example, has in wildfire areas. It's just intolerably expensive. Others say we need to do more on forest management. The cost for forest management is approximately $1,500 per acre. That is thinning out the forest and the like. And again, when we have millions of acres at stake, it's unlikely that that's going to be a singular answer here.
So hey, Jim, let me interrupt you for a second. You mentioned PG&E. Sure. I wanted to interject about the lawsuit. I'm assuming you've heard about the lawsuit filed by State Farm, sure, Farmers and USAA. Have you heard of something like this happening before, or do you think these suits have legs?
To my knowledge, it's Allstate, USAA, and State Farm have sued PG&E. They could have. It's a subrogation type of suit. It's a suit whereby the insurers are seeking to recoup for some of the damages that have inured to their detriment as a result of these wildfires, and they're legally entitled to go after the entity that allegedly caused that fire. So they do have legs. I will point out one thing, Dawn, that I found to be quite interesting. Sometimes it's important not to achieve what one hopes for. And I noted that Bloomberg has estimated that the insurance industry owns 20 to 25% of the California utility bonds. So if these lawsuits and other suits manage to bankrupt PG&E, it is possible that the bondholders will be left out in the cold. So hopefully the insurance industry is checking their asset balance sheet as they proceed through these suits.
Well, the other thing I wanted to ask you about, and you've mentioned this, the idea of having a California Wildfire Commission. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think this is such a prevalent problem. It hits the state economically so hard, and it's also hugely detrimental to the housing crisis that we currently have, that we need to think differently. And in this instance, forming a wildfire commission that would take a look at and draw the lines for the truly exposed areas with wind overlays, and then helping us make sure that infrastructure in these populated areas is adequate for public evacuation in the event that the worst happens, which, of course, was the huge issue in the Camp Fire. 26,000 homes were burned. People had to leave. They, by virtue of the fact that they had a wildfire 10 years earlier that had destroyed 80 homes, were looking to the future and created a skyway in order to help evacuate people. The problem was it was locally reviewed, not state reviewed, and it turned out to be inadequate. It was totally jammed. People couldn't get out, had to leave their vehicles on the side of the road. They had planned to have three stages of evacuation, but the fire spread so quickly that everybody was trying to leave at the same time. So there was no order to it. Eventually, the Cal Fire had to come in and bulldoze cars out of the way so that the firefighters could reach where the fire was most devastating. So we need more of a coordinated effort to take a look at infrastructure as well as fire remediation in these areas, building standards. California meets the highest quality of building standard, but I think the insurance industry can be helpful here too, Don. They can help set higher standards for insuring risk in wildfire areas by making sure that it's adequate defensible space around each home. Eaves don't overextend. When communities are built, they'll have areas where fire trucks can actually turn around at the end of a cul-de-sac rather than get stuck and therefore not respond to a fire at the end of the cul-de-sac. All of these things can be governed indirectly by the insurance industry and their underwriting standards.
Well, this has all been great, and I think you've really proposed some really interesting things and kind of enlightened us. So thank you very much for taking your time.
It's my pleasure, Don, and I hope to be able to work with the new insurance commissioner, Laura, as well as the new Governor Newsom, to try to tackle some of these problems. Our industry, the insurance industry, is there to help serve the public in a responsible manner and come up with creative ideas to solve these types of issues. Take care, Don.
You too. Thank you.